to another episode of Swans Cast. Liam Flanagan here as always. Luke McManus joining me. How are you, Luke?
Morning, Flanagan. How are you going?
Mate, I'm well, but what a busy week it has been for the Swans Footy Club.
It's been eventful. Let's be honest. Inundated with media requests. Yep. Mainly for one man, and that's Adam Goods.
Yeah, no surprise there. Oh, mate, I know I put a phone call in myself to one of your media managers here, Jordan Lang, and got the knock back. Goodsy had done his prescribed media. So, but look, it has been a very busy week. We'll get to all that a bit later. But first, as important as all the furore that came this week, is our guest this week, nominated by Jared McVay, Joey Kennedy.
KG Kennedy, as Jared McVay put it ever so nicely. He took a little bit to track down, but we got him.
You did your best detective work around the club, Luke, and you locked him down. He didn't, you know, he wasn't too keen, but we got him in here. So here's how our chat with Joey went.
So I'm here with Josh Kennedy, obviously nominated last week by Jared McVay. Welcome to Swanscast, Josh.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
You're a bit confused about what's going on here.
First question is, can we do a double take at any time of this?
Yes, we can. Okay, we can edit anything else you want out of it. First off the bat, obviously, as I said, Jared McVay nominated you because he said you were a bit cagey. You know, can you shed light on that?
I think it's probably due to the fact that some guys around the club just feel like the need to know every little thing about you at any given time of the day. Obviously, with social media these days, that makes it a bit easier. If they don't, then they assume that you're a bit cagey. But I'm not the only one. I think he's probably up there. Macca, Buddy Franklin would be top of my list.
Why do the boys never see you around the club?
Oh, jeez.
You've been really stitched up here, I think.
No, I love my time off, mate.
It's important. It's important in a football.
Get here, do what you need to do. As long as you train hard and work hard and then switch off.
Exactly right. You've obviously got a new off-field, not distraction, or distraction in a good way. How's fatherhood going?
Yeah, it's really good. It's been 6 weeks now, and it's been really exciting and presents a lot of new challenges, which are so rewarding as well. Obviously, with him growing and getting to know him a little bit more every day.
What has that done to your routine as a footballer? Has it impacted in any way?
Yeah, it has. I think you got to be a little bit more relaxed and try not to take your routine too seriously, as obviously it can be a little bit more interrupted. But just trying to work well with obviously Anna, my partner, and to get the best for both of us and obviously Emilio.
What were you like? What was your preparation like before Emilio came along? How did you treat your football, and then has anything really changed?
Nothing's really changed, I don't think. A lot of people ask me that, but I don't think anything's really changed. I still take it obviously really seriously, if not more seriously. I mean, it is your job, and I guess it provides providing the income for the family. So nothing's really changed in that regard. I still want to put a lot of importance on it and want to get the best out of myself, but you just got to try and find the time and the balance between that as well as switching off, and I guess that's probably why the boys never see me around the club.
Is there a little father's group going on at the Swans yet? Do you guys obviously bounce things off each other, the dads of the group?
I wouldn't say it's a group, but they're a reference point, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary Rowan's just joined us as well. He can't shed any light on the issues. You might be able to answer this. Why is Josh so cagey around the club?
I don't know.
Who said that to him? Yeah, untrue. Yeah. That's what they say when they haven't really got any dirt on someone. You know, it's an easy out, I would have thought.
Exactly. Former teammate Jude Bolton has said you spend 0 hours in the gym. True or false?
True. No, I don't spend a lot of time in there, but I am in there. I do a lot of... do a lot of core strengthening work and leg weights as well, but not like body weights or anything like that.
Yeah. Geez, they really had to target you here, I think. Do you and Dan Hannabury secretly hope the other gets the tag each week?
Yeah, probably. He's obviously in a terrific form at the moment, so and he's no one's really stopped him at the moment, so it's great watching him go. And not only him, but a lot of us at the now through the midfield are sharing the load, and makes us as a team a lot harder to match up against.
Ahead of his 100th game, how have you seen Mike Pike's development as a footballer? You've obviously been at his toes plenty of times over his career.
Yep. Well, I wasn't here when he first started. I think those guys would say that he's come a really, really long way, which from what I understand he has, and it's tremendous effort for him, and credit to his work ethic and the way that he's applied himself to the skills of the game and trying to learn the game, and he's turned into a really good player for us, and revered ruckman in the AFL as well. He's a couple of years ago he was leading the contested marks midway through the year, and this year he's been getting his hand on it a lot, winning a lot of the taps, so it's a terrific effort.
You were the first person to get to Goodsy after his war cry celebration on the weekend.
Yeah.
Was he pretty pumped up, and what's your take on the whole matter?
When he sort of started going through it, I didn't know whether to go and jump on him or just let him go. So I decided to let him go, and then he was obviously finished it off and was pretty pumped up, and I got around him. Don't think too much of it because you don't have too much time to think about it during the game. But since then, I think it's obviously, from internally, it's not really a big deal. We haven't thought about it too much. It was just celebrating a goal, and externally they've made this big deal about it. But and that's really all it is at the moment.
No worries, mate. Well, awesome work. Thank you very much for answering those. Now, at the end of our player chats, we do a little who am I, just to test your knowledge on another teammate.
Yeah, right.
So we've got about 5 questions here. They get easier as they go along. I was born on the 24th of October, 1992.
Hang on. 1992.
Yep.
24th of October. Couldn't be Gary Rowan, would it?
No, it's not Gary Rowan. I was recruited from the Dandenong Stingrays.
Luke Parker.
Yes, Luke Parker. Got it in 2, which is up there. Thanks very much for that, Joshy. Now your turn to nominate a teammate. Who will it be?
I'll nominate Dane Rampey.
Dane Rampey. We're coming for you, mate. Well, thanks again, Joshy. No worries, appreciate it. Mate.
Luke, well, let's turn our attention to the Round 9 game. It was the Sydney Swans taking on Carlton. It was the AFL's Indigenous Round, kicked off at the SCG Friday night. It was a big night, as we discussed, for many reasons.
It was a great build-up, first and foremost. Throughout the week, we obviously had the launch early in the week, and then getting around and chatting to the likes of Buddy and Adam Goods and Lewis Jetta, and even Abe Davis, who... hasn't featured in the senior squad as yet, but it would have meant just as much to him playing in the NEAFL.
Absolutely.
In Newcastle, which I'll touch on later.
Yeah.
Just as much to him as it did the other three.
Yeah.
And didn't they turn it on, the senior guys?
Absolutely, they did. And Abe, from what I read, had a pretty solid game in the 2s as well, got a few touches. But we will talk about the NEAFL side a bit later on. But first off, Adam Goods and his war cry celebration. It's been the big talking point. I think there's only one person who can really speak about the act itself, and that is the man himself.
Look, I think from my point of view, my teammates loved it. The Carlton players loved it. Like, it's not something that people should be getting their backs up against the wall about. Is this the lesson we want to teach our children, that when we don't understand something, we get angry and we put our back up against the wall? Oh, that's offensive. No, if it's something we don't understand, let's have a conversation, understand what what was Goodsy doing? He spoke about it after going, okay, it's from the Indigenous All-Stars. It's something he learnt from these under 16 kids, you know. I just think of those kids watching last night and they saw that, how proud they would be, because this is something that they come up with and, you know, we replicate at that level.
So, look, Luke, with that said, my personal opinion on the whole matter is I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought, I think that the Haka is one of the greatest spectacles in world sport. Like, you people get stuck on their computers for hours Googling and watching replays of great Hakas around the world from high school level all the way up to the All Blacks.
And for those of you at home, I actually have my hand up with that one because I have found myself Googling the Haka and, you know, there's some famous ones back in the day.
Absolutely.
When Australia and the All Blacks... Yeah. Really used to go head to head.
Yeah.
In the Bledisloe, and it was just a spectacle to see. And
absolutely.
Goods on Friday night just added a bit of theatre to the whole night.
100%. And I guarantee that Indigenous Round 2016, there will be a line out the gate to get in to watch the Sydney Swans play because it was a fantastic spectacle all round. And I think what Goodsy did was just a demonstration of a proud Indigenous man embracing his heritage and what the round is all about. And the other thing I thought was important was, could you imagine how excited those under-16 boomerang side, the kids that taught Adam Goods that dance, imagine how excited they would have been if they were at the ground or flicked on the telly or wherever they saw it and saw that Adam Goods, this two-time Brownlow medalist, star of the competition, was performing a dance that they taught him.
They would have been beside themselves. For one of their heroes to, you know, do that after kicking a goal on the main stage on the Friday night under lights of the SCG, it just would have been a massive thing for them to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think what you will, but I think Swans fans would have loved it. So,
and they did, and that was the majority of people who got behind him. Yep. And then there was, obviously, he divides opinion. Yep. Let's not hide from the fact that he divides opinion all across Australia, all across our great game.
Mm.
But, you know, the Swans fans, they loved it.
They got behind it.
They want it. They actually, there's requests being put in that the whole side does it next week.
Let's move on because that was just, it was the big talking point, but it was a brief moment within the game. Let's look at the game itself. Let's be honest. It was a Carlton team that had a tough week. They just, with the sacking of Coach Mick Malthouse, John Barker stepped into the role. So it had been a tough week off field. They were undermanned. They were out without Murphy, Judd and Gibbs. Probably their three top tier players. And they were an undermanned footy side coming here, sitting bottom of the ladder, taking on a Swans outfit that we're up and about. But you can only play the side that's put in front of you, and that's exactly what the Swans did.
Yeah, they did, and I mean, as you said, Carlton were a shell of a side, but exactly right, you still got to get the job done, and the Swans did that in emphatic fashion, I'm going to say, because it was a big win in the end.
Mm.
19-8, 122-9-8, 62.
Buddy 10 goals, Franklin, just a lazy 10.
Yeah, just a lazy 10. Franklin, 7 goals, he was on fire. He threatened early. He had 3 within the first 9 minutes of the game. He was really up and about.
Absolutely.
Your mob sitting up in the commentary box. JB had him down for 17 goals.
Tipping him to go close to the Jason Dunstall record of 17 goals. 17 goals. He was threatening. No, Buddy was, I mean, he was on. And he was due. He'd had a couple of quiet weeks in terms of registering on the scoreboard. Obviously, his game is about more than that. But he had been a little bit quiet in the last couple, so I don't know whether he set himself for a big one, but he did have a terrific day in front of goals. Mate, I wanted to have a bit of a chat about Dan Robinson on debut, first game in the AFL. I thought he held his own. It was fantastic. 15 touches, kicked a goal, looked very clean.
And you couldn't wipe the grin off his face before and after the game. John Longmire, the coach, it was a little bit of an issue or a little bit of a eventful pre-game warm-up with the
Heath Grundy
late withdrawal.
Yeah.
So John, who had Dan down as the sub, had to go walked over to him and said, "Mate, you're in first 22." And Robbo, massive gear on his face, had to kind of, you know, settle himself. I can imagine the nerves would have come flooding in. But didn't he stand up on the big stage? yeah, really held his own.
Absolutely, and you caught up with him, as you mentioned, post-match.
First game, Dan Robinson, congratulations on the win, mate. You absolutely reek of Gatorade.
Yeah, got smashed by the boys with the Gatorade shower, so a bit sticky at the moment.
How'd it feel to be out there? I mean, you've waited a couple of years before your debut. How did it feel to be finally out there on the SCG playing alongside the boys?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, words can't describe it. I'm so happy. I'm on cloud nine at the moment, and you know, hopefully can cement my team and play a few more matches, but I'm just so happy at the moment.
You're exactly right. I watched that video. It's up on the Sydney Swans website if you haven't seen it. You could not wipe the smile off the young bloke's face. I mean, it's a great story. He's a former New South Wales scholarship holder. He was on the Swans rookie list. He was promoted at the start of this season to the senior list. And he really has sort of paid his dues in the twos. And to see him come into the senior side, fight his way in, because it's a tough midfield to break into, and fight his way in, get 15 touches and kick a goal in his first game is a terrific, terrific return for a young player at the Swans Footy Club.
Well, he's been the most consistent player in the NEFL by far, so yeah, he really deserved his chance.
Let's talk about some of the big performers. We mentioned Buddy. What do you see the efforts of Lewis Jetta, also another Indigenous player playing in the round, involved in the launch, as you mentioned. 27 touches. He was up and about, Lewis.
And he had just finesse about him. He had a really nice touch, apart from, I mean, he could have easily kicked a goal. There was a couple of near misses that would have brought the house down, because apparently he had a dance of his own up his sleeve. So, no, he, as I mentioned before about the Indigenous boys, they really stepped it up a gear this round, and I don't know whether it was because the occasion allowed them to, or, you know, them themselves.
Yeah, no, either way, it was great to see. The other two, I mean, these guys they've just set the benchmark so high for themselves, and yet they continue to meet it each week. Dan Hannabury and Tom Mitchell, both, I can't really split them, you know, except for the fact that Hannah's kicked two big ones, but both of them with 25-plus disposals. The thing I loved is that in a dominant game where the Swans were on top from the get-go, both of those blokes had 8 tackles.
I thought Kieran Jack also was a leader, 30-odd disposals, and I think this is one of his best games for the year. He's kind of floated under the radar, underneath the likes of, you know, Joshie Kennedy, Parks, Hannah's obviously. So Kieran Jack, that was a big game from him as well.
Fantastic. Mate, let's get to Horses Heroes. How'd you see it? Where'd you see the votes going?
Look, I you can't go past Buddy's 7 goals. We do like when he kicks a bag, so I thought he deserved a vote. Dan Robinson.
You want to give him a vote on debut?
I want to give him a vote for his debut. Just the way he handled the occasion. Didn't look out of place. He was going, I think, in his first 8 or 9 touches, he was going as 100% efficiency.
Yep, right.
Gary Rowan.
Yep.
I want to give him a vote. Purely for his 2 chase downs.
Fantastic.
Tackles, holding the ball.
That's what we're all about
winning the free
heroes.
Kicks, the little things.
Yep.
And I wanted to give one for Goods.
Yep.
I wanted to give one to Goods because Adam Goods, that dance, I think that alone deserved the vote.
Fantastic. Well, mate, I wholeheartedly agree with Goodsy for a vote. I think he definitely deserves one. I think Gary Rowan, wholeheartedly agree. I actually want to give Gary Rowan 2 because we talked about at the start of the year that the award is not just about kicking bags, but it is about the little efforts. And I think Gary Rowan's, he just epitomises that effort without the footy in hand. So when there's a turnover, you know, blokes like he and Ben McGlynn really lead the way with laying pressure to turn the footy back over. So I wanted to give Gary Rowan 2 votes, actually. And then Big Bud, bag of 7, to come back from no goals last week. I thought I wanted to give him 2. I saw it going 2-2-1. I don't have Dan Robinson in there. Are you happy to pass over, or do you think he has to be in there?
Oh, I think he has to be
all
in
right.
there.
All right,
I think
I'm
he
not
going to
argue with you, Luke.
I'm a real advocate for
you,
Dan Robinson.
You look like you've been hitting the gym a bit, mate, so I'm not going to argue with you. All right, well, there it is.
Who are we going to take off the vote then? Who are you going to take off the vote?
Oh, you had Kieran Jack down there as well.
No.
I'm happy to. Oh, look, I think.
Who are you going to take a vote off
I think it's tough to take votes off Big Bud. We, you know, we haven't been overly kind to Big Bud in Horses Heroes so far this year. He's missed out on a couple of occasions. And you run away from him in the hallways every time you see him now. So, look, let's get back in Buddy's good books and give him two votes this week. One vote to Dan Robinson. Congratulations, mate. Fantastic first game for the Swans senior side. Gary Rowan gets a vote as well for his fantastic pressure around the ground, and Adam Goods for that fantastic celebration, that war cry. So there we have it. Two to Buddy, one to Robinson, one to Rowan, and one to Goods.
Well, after a big Friday night, I jumped in the car and travelled up to Newcastle for the Swans and Brisbane Lions NEAFL clash.
First thing Saturday morning or straight after the game?
The first thing Saturday morning. Right. First thing Saturday morning. The team was already up there. They stayed over on the Friday night, so I jumped in the car myself.
Coffee in hand.
Coffee in hand and... What was
breakfast?
I don't know. I can't remember. Breakfast? It was too early.
Bacon and egg roll? You're on
something
the,
like that. I'm
the
pretty
paleo
sure.
diet. You're on the Bircham muesli.
Nah, definitely not. Give me a bacon and egg roll any day of the week. Went up to Newcastle, the 2-hour drive. Never made that before, so it was a nice little drive.
Beautiful part of the world.
Beautiful part of the world, Newcastle. Hey?
Isaac Heaney.
Yes. Well, Isaac Heaney, don't get me wrong. He was the man of the moment there.
Really?
He was absolutely swamped. I think there was a little bit... I walked past him to get a photo myself Instagram pages.
He didn't play, did he?
No. He travelled with the side
and fantastic.
Met up with family up there, and he was the man of the hour. He was absolutely swamped, and I walked past and took a photo of myself for Instagram, and
did he have a bit of the swagger on?
He's just like, look, I really appreciate the attention, but he's just like, look, get me out of here. Because, you know, he could only take so many photos and autographs. Right. But, he loved it. He loved being back home and loved getting around the Swans fan because they love him. To the game, the Swans were quite dominant, 16-14, 110 to the Lions, 5-6-36. It might seem all one way. Look, the Lions battled hard, but they were... I mean, they're sitting low on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game or the scoreline really reflected the flow of the game. I think we were so dominant. Although, you know, Jared Crouch, the co-coach, and Marty Matner, the co-coaches there, they would differ in opinions because they wanted more out of the Chargers.
Right,
at three-quarter time, Crouchy ripped shreds through them, actually. At three-quarter time, he just wanted more. He wanted more effort, more enthusiasm from the boys. They obviously finished off the game well because they kicked six goals in the last quarter to really put them to the sword.
Bit of coaching 101 there. Give them a whack when they're up and about.
Exactly.
And, you know, lift them up if they're down. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
great
to see Crouchy and Marty keeping the boys in check.
Exactly. Abe Davis, we touched on him before. 30 possessions. Got freed up and played in through the midfield. He's usually a bit of a swing man. He plays up forward. Down back, he's a solid lad.
Yeah, he's a big unit.
A few more pre-seasons in him, and he's going to stand up to the AFL, or to the rigours of AFL football quite well.
Yeah, fantastic.
30 possessions from him. Tommy Derricks probably played his best game all season in the NEAFL, so he's really pushing to get back into that senior side. Towers kicked four goals, so a great outing from him. James Rose was really dynamic up forward. He took a couple of really strong grabs, including one over about three lines. It was kind of half a specky. He didn't really get up that high, but he just plucked it from nowhere. It was a great mark. Georgie Hewitt, 34 possessions, really led the way through the midfield. And Craig Bird, 30 possessions from him, really in and under kind of stuff.
It's fantastic to see all those names you just mentioned there. They're the blokes who've been sort of in and out of the ones at the moment. It's great to see that they go back to the NEAFL and continue to keep that high standard you mentioned. So, two great wins over the weekend for the Swannies.
Two great wins, and co-coach Marty Matner joined me up in the grandstand for a little bit of a chat. Yeah, 70-point winners, but, you know, it might seem convincing, but Jared obviously still revved him up, gave him a bit of a rev up at three-quarter time.
Yeah, I think it was probably... more about the way we went about it. We weren't playing the way we wanted to play in Swans footy, and even at quarter time, Jared gave him a little rap as well. But still, need that consistency of effort, and if we're doing it the right way and we have 70-point win, it's a nice, but today I think we won pretty comfortably, but we didn't probably play the way we wanted to play.
What was it about today's performance that you would have liked kind of improvement in?
Probably a bit of our general... enthusiasm, and you know, a few guys kicked goals early and did some good things early, and we didn't create our own enthusiasm, and We didn't get around the boys, and I think also just the way we played, we didn't probably play to our strengths.
Midfield group obviously used the ball pretty well. Great to have obviously Craig Bird and Dean Towers, you know, blokes like that. Kind of bringing along Jackie Scox and Georgie Hewitt along with them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Georgie's taken a big step this year, I think, in his leadership around the ground. Probably disappointing we lost Dan Robinson, but really good for him to play his senior footy last night. But it's an opportunity for guys to step up. Abe Davis played more through the midfield, Jordan Foote. You know, the regulars of Birdie and Georgie Hewitt were through there. But yeah, Jackie Scott. So Robbo's, I guess, gain of playing senior footy is another gain for someone else to have more experience and bring their leadership, and which is really good. And I think our midfield were good today. I think we still get better, and I think as a team we can probably get better as well.
Okay, well, it's time to turn our attention to round 10, where the Sydney Swans will travel up to the Gold Coast, home of big Kurt Tippett. A bit of a homecoming for him. I imagine he'll be having to take a few selfies over the weekend, but they will take on the Gold Coast Suns at Metricon Stadium on Saturday afternoon. The Gold Coast Suns, they're not travelling all that well at the moment. You know, it's, I guess the challenge for the Swans will be to keep their standards, not sort of drop down to the level of the teams they may be playing, but keep the standards that they've had all season. They are playing another cellar dweller off the back of Carlton, so it'll be a tough challenge for them. But mate, I want to talk about the big Canadian. Big Mike Pike, set to play his 100th game of senior AFL this weekend. It's an exciting achievement for the man from across the pond.
It is. It's a fantastic story. I mean, talk about milestones. We had Ben McGlynn with his 150th last week. We sent him off with a win. Hopefully we can send Big Pikey off with a win on his 100th. It was a fantastic story, as I said. As you said, from across the pond, making his way over from Canada, turned his back on an international rugby career to give AFL a crack. And it's working wonders at the moment.
And he's taken it all in his stride. Here's what Swanies coach John Longmire had to say about the big Canadian's upcoming milestone at Monday's press conference.
And if you're talking about celebrating one of the great things in football, one of the great stories in football, it'd have to be a guy by the name of Mike Pike. To be able to turn up on our doorstep a few years ago, and the only vision we saw of him was him scoring a try against the All Blacks, and to train here for a couple of weeks, to get on a rookie list and then to play senior football in his first year after never seeing the game at all is quite extraordinary. And he's played in a premiership, he's playing every week for us at the moment, and he's in good form. So it's a remarkable story, and it's a real credit to his ability to be able to apply himself to another sport and get to the top level and also learn. He's one of the best learners I've ever seen, you know, or worked with, and he's able to do that on a week in, week out basis. It's a great story.
It is a very exciting achievement for the big man, and I think it'll be... I look forward to what his teammates getting around him in this game, because I think he has just continued to go from strength to strength, and I think all his teammates really appreciate it. So looking forward to seeing Big Mike Pike run through the banner on Saturday afternoon up at Metricon Stadium. Shame it's not a Swans home game, but they can't all be played at the great MCG, so best of luck to Pikey.
We've got about a 4-week wait before we get back into the SCG, unfortunately.
Maybe you and I should get out there and have a run around.
Well, I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to. I'd love to have a kick on the hallowed turf of the SCG.
Yeah, anyway, but no, it will be a big game. Hopefully, we'll be celebrating another Swanies win. They're four on the trot, four straight at the moment.
Feeling good. I think we're building towards something. Yeah,
building very nicely, building to the bye. Building nicely into the bye weekend, I feel. But chance to get a fistful of wins in a row for the Swans this weekend against the Gold Coast. Well, mate, that's all we've got time for this week on Swanscast. I'll catch you next week.
Cheers, Flanners.
Go the Swannies.